Now, there's lots of good things about Easter, isn't there? But the thing I like most is an Easter egg hunt. Who else likes an Easter egg hunt? Yeah? Yeah, it's great, isn't it? And we're going to have one after the service, so that's good. We've got some Easter eggs hidden in Forest School, and we can go and hunt for them later. But I love an Easter egg hunt. We have one every year, Easter Sunday. We go back home, and Vicky is the mastermind of it, and she goes and she scatters little Easter eggs all around our garden. And then we find loads of them on Easter Sunday, and then we still find loads a few weeks later and a few weeks after that. And I think our best is finding one about 6 months after Easter, still finding these little Easter eggs. There we go, 2 weeks ago. It is fun, isn't it, being able to search, and the searching is fun, but the real joy is finding the chocolate, isn't it? That's what makes an Easter egg hunt really good. But actually, it's not just children with their eggs that are the ones who are searching. Actually, we are all searching, aren't we? We are all searching for something. If that's not the case, then why do over 70% of people in this country do the lottery on a regular basis? What are they doing? They're searching for that security, that happiness, that lifestyle that money will bring. If only I had that, life will be sorted. It's the same for those who work all day and night, and all the hours God sends to try and progress their careers. Why are they doing that? So they can provide a secure and happy future for their families. Or it may be relationships that we're searching for, that partner or within our family that will mean that we will find happiness, security, love, all those things. It's why we love the Happy Ever After films, don't we? Whether it's the Disney ones or the rom-com or the action film where the bad guys are caught, and that they're all speaking of that happy ever after, that happy ending that we all are searching for. But our passage today shows that is not just Hollywood make-believe. That as a Christian, we don't just have fingers crossed, hope for the best kind of hope that we have, if maybe with the lottery, that it could be you. No, we have real, cast iron, certain, sure hope. Absolutely certain, no doubts, assurance. And that comes not from kind of screwing up our eyes, looking inside ourselves, trying to sort of well up some sort of confidence. It's not about being an optimist. It's about being a realist, looking at, not at ourselves, but looking at what happened at Easter, Jesus' death and resurrection, seeing the love that is shown there through Jesus' death for us, and being certain of the unshakable hope that love brings. And so we have going to see in this passage three things, so you have to try and spot them, three things that as we look at the cross means we can have confidence. We'll see that God is on our side, we'll see that God's decision is final, and we'll see that God won't let us go. So let's see the first of those. God is on your side. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you can be sure, absolutely, that God is on your side. Look down at verse 31. In the light of all that he said, all the promises made, but also even despite all the sufferings he's spoken of, he says, what shall we say in response to these things? Verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer should be so obvious that he doesn't even have to say it. No one. If God is on our side, then we have nothing to be afraid of. He has got our back. Now, I was thinking how to illustrate this, and I thought I might have a game of tug of war. So I need two people to volunteer for a game of tug of war. Okay, we'll have Caitlin and Amelia. Okay, don't worry, I'll get you up later on. So Caitlin, you come this side. Do you know how to play a game of tug of war? So you have to pull on the string, yeah, on the rope. And we've got, let's use this as the middle line. So Caitlin, you come over this side. Here we go. How strong are you feeling? You're feeling very strong? Yeah. Okay. And Amelia, you take that end there. Right. Okay. So who do we think, whose money is on Amelia winning? Okay, whose money is on Caitlin winning? Okay. Now, what if I was to say that actually, because Caitlin is Peter's daughter, that Peter can come and help Caitlin? Okay, now who do we think is going to win? Let's see. One, two, three, go! 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 Pull! 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 Go on, Amelia, what are you doing? Come on! Go on! Oh, go on! Trying really hard! Trying really hard! Go on a bit further! Go on! Go on! You're trying really hard! Okay. Well done. Good try. I think it's fair to say that Amelia tried her very, very best there, didn't she? She did really well. But could she beat Caitlin? No. Because Caitlin had her dad on her side. And that is the same for us. If we are children of God, then we have our Father on our side. He's got our back. And you can't get anyone better than having God on your side, can you? Because he is the biggest and the best. Do you remember the song we sing? Our God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. And he is on our side. The one who made the mountains and the rivers and even the stars is on our side. He has got our back. Whatever we face, he is with us. No one can beat him. And if you want to know for certain that that is true, then all you need to do is look at Easter. Because when you see Jesus there on the cross, you know for certain that God has got your back, that he will not let you go, that he will always be on your side. Just look down at verse 32. See the logic. He says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You see, the world thinks that God is a taker, that he's there to take all the good things from you. But it's completely the opposite. God is a giver. He's the biggest giver ever. He loves us so much that he gave us his son. That Jesus was willing to come and to die in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve on himself. And so if he's done that, do you think now he's going to forget about us? Of course not. Of course not. It's a bit like this. Here we go. Shows next slide, Jamie. There we go. Imagine if you were out in a boat in the middle of a storm, okay? And you're being tossed around, and then the lifeboat comes to rescue you. And it comes through, bashes through all these waves, and it splashes, and it finally it makes it to you. And it gets you on board, okay? And then it takes you back to the harbour, back to safety. Okay, it's gone through all that. It's travelled miles out to sea to get you. And it brings you back. And 100 metres from port, they say, right, okay, hop over the side, you can swim the rest. Ridiculous, isn't it? If they've done all that to bring you to safety, they will make sure that they get you that last little bit into port. You see, this morning, if we are Christian here today, then we can know that God is on your side. He's got your back. And if we doubt that, all we need to do is look to the cross. So that's the first thing we see, that God is on our side. But the next couple of questions look forward to what that means for the future. That if God is on our side, what does that mean for the future? Well, it shows that we can have confidence because God's decision is final. God's decision is final. So if you remember at the last All Age we had a courtroom drama, didn't we? Do you remember that? With the judge and with the... I think it was Chloe who was in the dock, weren't you? You were the guilty one last time. But we're going to go back to that, and we're going to need my judge. Where's my judge, Debbie? There we go. And I need my that's you, Peter, isn't it? And I need my Jesus. There we go. So, leave that one on now. That
bit long.
So we've seen that actually, on the last day, we will all meet God as judge, and we'll have to give an account for how we have lived, how we have loved him, and how we've loved others. And so when we stand in the dock on that day, when we have to meet God as judge, we will be found to be guilty. Because we have all sinned. We've all said, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. We've all turned our backs on God as our Maker and Lord. And because of that, we get the death sentence. There we go. Spiritual death now and death for the future. That is true of all of us. But the wonderful news of the gospel is that Jesus comes and he takes our place. He takes our sin on himself, and because he takes our sin, he takes the punishment for our sin by dying for us. And instead, Jesus, the Son of God, makes us into children of God. But it doesn't stop there, because not only on Good Friday does Jesus die, but on Easter Sunday he rises again. And he goes to be with his Father in heaven. Now, even though we know that we are the children of God, there's lots of things that can cause us to doubt that, isn't there? For one thing, we still sin. we still know that we do turn our backs on God. We don't always love others like we should. And so we know in some ways that we deserve death still. But because Jesus has risen again, we can know that death is destroyed and sin's been paid for. Do you want to rip it up? That's enough. And if there's any doubt, then we can know that Jesus is there at God's right-hand side. So if anyone comes to accuse us, or if we accuse ourselves, Jesus is there to say, no, the punishment is being taken. It's been dealt with. It's done away with. He's there interceding for us. Well done. Do take a seat. Give him a round of applause. And that is what the Bible says. Look at verse 33. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Again, the answer is no one. No one can. They might try. Friends might look at us and say, well, I thought you were meant to be a Christian, but you're no better than me. Or the devil may try. He might say, face it, you're a failure at this Christian thing. Or you yourself might try, because you know your hearts more than anyone else. And you know that you fall far short of God's standard. But you see, it doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is what God thinks. He's the one who makes that decision, who gives the verdict. And he is the one, he's the one who justifies. And he's already given his verdict. He says, you're not guilty. Because of Jesus' death for you, you're not guilty. You're innocent. You are my beloved child of God. And so when we're tempted to doubt that verdict, again, we are to look to Easter, to Jesus' death and resurrection. Look down at verse 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. See, he's like the barrister pleading our case. He shows God that sin has been paid for. It's like saying, he's saying to God, God, look what I went through. Look at the nail marks in my hands. Did you see me go to earth and hang there, rejected on that cross? It's done. It's paid. Look, I've risen again. Death has been defeated. It's over. Not as if he has to kind of convince God, kind of bent, twist God's arm, no. But we want us to see that if he's gone to such lengths for our sake, Jesus won't leave us on our own now. He is there interceding, praying, pleading our case to God. So whatever anyone else says, however we might feel ourselves, God's decision is final. And if you're trusting in Christ, then his verdict today and on that last day will be the same. Not guilty. No one can change that. So there we go. We've seen that God is on our side. We've seen that God's decision is final. We've got one more to do, but we're going to have a little break. We're going to sing again, and we're going to sing of Jesus' love for us. And one more to go, and that is that God, the reason we can be confident is that God will never let you go. God will never let you go. That's the final question there in verse 35. Have a look down. Do you see it? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And again, what's the answer? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? No one and nothing. There's lots of things that could tempt us to give up. There's lots of things that could make us think that God has given up on us. I mean, that list, isn't it, is trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. They'd be all very good reasons to give up. Or if I was suffering any of those things, to think that God has given up on me. We heard about, we see just a bit earlier, verse 18. Paul says, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. And there are a lot of sufferings, aren't there? Living in a fallen and fractured world with death and decay all around us. And particular reasons for suffering is that as a Christian, when we face opposition or persecution, lots of reasons to give up. All those things in verse 35 are things that Paul himself, who wrote this letter, suffered. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger and sword. But none of them can separate us from the love of Christ. Whatever it feels like, none of them can do so. Look at verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are conquerors. It may not feel like it yet, but we can be sure and certain that we will do. That none of those things will stop us from getting to glory. And when we get there, those things won't be there. So no more suffering, no more pain, no more grief. All gone. You see verse 38. See the confidence and certainty with which Paul speaks. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The point is that nothing can separate us. If death can't and life can't, then nothing can. If height can't and depth can't, then nothing can. Nothing can separate us from that love. It's too high to get over, it's too wide to get round, it's too low to get under. Nothing can separate us from Jesus' great love for us. Right, time for another illustration. So I need Peter to come up. Sit down there for me. There you go, nice tasty chocolate egg for you. And it's yours as long as you can keep hold of it, okay? But children, your aim is to try and separate that egg from him. So, who would like a weapon? Who would like a water pistol? Go on, Noah, you can come and join in this. Oh, yes, very enthusiastic to spray your daddy. Right, you can pull faces at him, you can squirt him, you can do anything you want. You've just got to try and get him to let go of that egg. Go on. Does it work? Go on. Come on, that's it. Give me one. Oh, he's good, isn't he? Yes, do you think he's going to let go of it? Oh, I don't think we're going to win. Okay, well done. I think I might. We'll have a gun amnesty, I think. Those naughty children. So, well done. You managed to, nothing could separate you from that egg. You obviously like chocolate very much, so you can keep that. Well done. I know that Peter's very generous, so he might not keep it all to himself. You see, so Peter held on to his egg because he loved it so much and nothing could separate it. No matter what we did to him, he wouldn't let go of that egg. And that is what God is like with us. He will never let us go. He loves us so much that he's going to hold on to us no matter what comes our way. You see, the Christian life is about confident humility. Confident humility. You see, we're confident because we have an absolute rock-solid assurance. There's no doubt we will get there in the end. Now, some people say that that makes Christians arrogant. How can you be so sure, so certain? Look at yourself. You're no better than anyone else. Look at what's going on around you. Really, do you think you're that loved by God when you're suffering like that, or you've been bereaved, or whatever else it is? Really, do you think God loves you? You're so arrogant. But you see, it's not that we're just arrogant. It is we have confident humility. So our confidence is not in ourselves, but it is in God. You see, we have complete humility. It's not pride. It doesn't depend on me. It's not about my doing. It's not about me finding confidence in myself. But it's trusting in God. Trusting in Christ, that if we're found in him, then his death and resurrection gives us complete confidence. Confident humility in Christ and what he's done. Certain that what God has started, he will finish. If he, that's what we find, can find this Easter. Rock solid confidence. That there is a happy after that. We have a certain hope for the future. That we can be completely secure. That God will get us there. That what he started, he will finish. That if God is on our side, if he's given us his son, then how will he not give us all things? If he's already announced his verdict, if he's already declared that there is now no condemnation, that you are not guilty, then how will he not on that last day give that same verdict? Who's going to change his mind? Well, if anyone tries, Jesus is there saying, I've done it. I've paid for his sin. He's innocent. We can be sure that no one will take that away from us. Whatever we face, whatever we experience between now and the day that Jesus returns, nothing can separate us from Christ's love. And if you're in any doubt of that, then this Easter, look all the more to the cross. Look to see how nothing stopped Jesus completing his mission. No matter the suffering that he faced, he persevered. He continued for our sake. So in the same way that nothing stopped Christ from loving us, so nothing can separate us from his love. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of Christ. We thank you that you were willing to, for your love, that you were willing to give your only son. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help us not to judge our confidence and certainty before you by what we experience or what we face now, but instead that you give us confident humility because of the death of Jesus. Help us not look to ourselves, but look to him and him alone for our confidence and hope. In Jesus' name, amen.